with me this morning now to 2 Kings chapter 13, 14 through 19. I would like to preach this sermon the way it was preached to me, but I know that I can't. I'm just going to do the best that I can, but I can't preach this sermon the way the Lord preached it to me, but I wish I could. You know, you just get the after runs of it. But thank you, Lord. And it hit me so very, very hard. There's a song that we sing in our hymn books, page 484, Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New height I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven table land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. A verse of scripture that goes along with that is Philippians 3 and 14, I press towards the goal, the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You know, so many times as Christians, and me, myself, like I say, I'm talking to me, we stop before we go all the way with the Lord. You and I are in a battleground. The Christian life is not a playground. But you see, we stop. I go up just as far as I have to go, and I stop, instead of pressing on as I should go. Many times I lose that battle. Johnson Oakland, I think, was one Oakman that wrote this hymn, Higher Ground, in 1898 in our hymn book. That's the reason we should never get away from the hymn book. They have such a great message. But the song expresses so well our universal desire, really, for a deeper and a spiritual life. Continue on a higher plane in fellowship and victory with Jesus Christ. But it's so sad when we observe ourselves and many Christians, and we never live up to really our real potential goal in this life. We press on. We don't never really get but be a mature and a Christ-like person as we should. We don't advance from one level to the next level as we should advance step by step. For many reasons. An old preacher preached at this church years ago. His name was Brother Owen Rozier. And an old church, and he asked me one time on Wednesday night, not too many people come, he said, I be wondering why people don't come back on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. And then he answered me and he told me, and I won't tell you what he said, but I'll tell you, he was 100% right. And I thank him for his great stand in Christ Jesus and helping me. But this is so hard and so true. A lot of times we don't like to hear the word of God, because you know what? Who it hurts the most? It's me. It's me. Because it hits us. And a lot of people don't like to hear it because, hey, you preaching to me, preacher. No, I'm preaching to myself. The Holy Spirit's preaching to you. I hadn't read your mail. But I thought all these preachers I ever heard was reading my mail, because it seemed like I was the only one in the congregation that was talking to you. But that's the Spirit of the Lord. It hits me, and very hard. But I tell you, the truth is hard sometimes, but we measure our own victory. We measure our own victory. And we need to keep pressing on. Many times we take less than God's best for us as Christians. We don't have the victory, and if we do, it's just kind of partial, and we limit the victory that we have because we have not learned to press the battle to the very gates that God intends us to press on. In these verses of scripture in Elisha, and I was on that Wednesday night, and I wish you would have been here Wednesday night if you wasn't, because it was for me. But in these verses of scripture we see in verse 14 and 19, we'll see why you and I don't press on. So many times it was a picture of me that I could have had more. God intends for me to have more. How come I stop? Well, these scriptures, I hope that you get the whole view of what God wants you to see this morning. It says, verse 14, chapter 13 and verse 14. Now, Elisha was falling sick. Of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over him in the face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said unto him, "Take a bow and arrow." And he took unto him the bow and arrow. And he said to the king of Israel, "Put thy hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. And Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of the deliverance from Assyria. For thou hast smitten the Assyrians in Aphlex till thou have consumed them." And he said, "Take the arrow." And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground." And he smote three times and stopped. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, "Thou shouldst have smitten five or six times. Then had thou smitten Assyria until thou consumed it. Whereas now thou hast smitten Assyria but three times." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great, great power of the Word of God. Father, we know it's not man speaking, but it's you speaking. And Father, we just pray, God, that you might speak through me this hour. Father, the power of the Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God. And for the far saints of this service here this morning, in just a few minutes, Father, we might give you all the honor and praise that you deserve. And the movement here of this church, oh God, to be overflowed by your presence. And we want to thank you, God, this day that we got a living Savior to pray to and to pray through. And we thank you for all the good things you give us even this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen and amen. Question: do you want God's best? I believe we'd all say amen to that, but I didn't hear one. Sometimes I have to beg one out once in a while. But do you want God's best? And I know that we all do. We want God's best for us. Well, these verses tell us that we measure our own victory by the extent that we trust God. The victory really lies in your hand. Did y'all know that? A lot of people are under battles now, and they don't know how they're going to get out of it. And if you're not in a battle, you will be in one shortly. Well, the battle is really in your hand. The cup, the measuring cup, is in your hand. God desires victory for you. Do you believe that? God desires victory for every one of us today. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us to go on. It's first for the Christian, the book of Hebrews. You read that. It's the theme of the book. To go on in Christ Jesus, go on. Because the Christians want to turn back and they wanted to stop and they didn't want to go on. The book of Hebrews, book of Joshua, it says, you know, we need to go on and possess the land. For us to go on, possess the land in victory. The book of Ephesians tells us to go on. That's where we live at, in victory, in the book of Ephesians. Victory is a land for the Christian this day. Now, the background of this that I had just read, Joash is the king of Israel. Now, the Assyrian king was continuously always attacking Israel and beating Israel, attacking them and beating them down. Now, Israel military, if you read this whole chapter, several chapters, you find out their military was very low, very beat down. Really, Israel was just a plaything in the hand of Assyria. In other words, they didn't have anything else to do. They said, "Let's go pick on Israel and beat some of those soldiers and beat them down." Every day, all the time, they were just beating them down. Now, Assyria, you see, was just kind of the big bully of that time. Now, Joash, he was not a bad king, but he wasn't a real good king either. What really happened to him, he was just a lukewarm king about the things of God. Listen to me. Lukewarm Christians about the thing of God is going to face the same thing that he faced. Just lukewarm. You know what book in Revelation? "I wish you was hot, I wish you was cold," Jesus Christ speaking. "But you're just lukewarm." Lukewarm Christians. That's what he was, just lukewarm. And he finally gained victory over the Assyrians, we find out in this chapter. But the victory is kind of half-hearted. He measured out his own victory, that you and I a lot of times measure our own victory in whatever situation, whatever area of our life that we're in. He set his own limits. And you know, you set your own limits today as a child of God. We set our own limits. Now, Elisha, you know, he had been a prophet of Israel for many, many years. And you know what? That's the way that God spoke to the nation of Israel, was through prophets. Not through the king, but through prophets. He spoke to the prophets, and the prophets represented God to the people. The kings represented the people to God. But he was a prophet for many years. But now he was old now, and it come time to Elisha to die, and he got sick, and you know, and old Joash come to see him. And now Joash was brokenhearted about the old man of God, because that's the way that he got in touch with God. Remind now, if you didn't have no word of God with you, didn't have no Bible, didn't have nothing, you had to go to somebody to find out what God had for you to do, or what would be a terrible time, really. But see, we don't have to do that today, because we got the full written word of God. There are no prophets today, no matter what anybody tells you, because we got the Bible. We don't need no prophets today. But he was a prophet of God. And old king now, he felt kind of heavy about this, because he didn't have anybody to go to. He was kind of brokenhearted about it, about dying in a condition, and also the condition that Israel was in, to about go to him about finding help. You see, Elisha, he was very, very disturbed. Again, there in verse 14, Elisha was falling sick of his sickness, wherein he died. Now, Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him, and he wept over him in face to face. Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Now, you see, there was two people in that verse of Scripture that was sick. Elisha was sick, and the king was sick. He was sick of the conditions, and he wept there over his nation. As I told you Wednesday night, our greatest need as a person, as a family, as a church, and a nation, our greatest need is for us to see our need. We don't see our need in our personal life. We don't see our need in our family life. If we did, this church would be overflowing today. We don't see our need in our nation's life, or we wouldn't have these cronies that's in the White House today and up there in Congress. We don't see our need of our nation, how terrible it is, because of the hearts of the people today. We need a revival across this land, but we don't see that need. Did you know what? We need a revival in this church. Do you really see that need, that we need one? How about your family this morning? Do you really need a revival in your family? Or are you doing pretty good in your personal life? You're doing pretty good. Well, that's the way most of us are. We just do pretty good. But you see, God intends for us to have revival and for us to see our need. Why are we failing so many areas of our life? Because we're not living in victory. We don't see our need. In the four areas that I mentioned, you see, it doesn't really bother us. Does it really bother us what's going on in our country? Does it really bother us in our churches across our land? Are you really disturbed about your family and your personal life? And the question, our action is, no, we're doing pretty good. It don't really, really bother me. Or I tell you, not only that I tell you, the whole country would be full today of the churches across our lands. But you see, the hounds of hell are mocking the average Christian today. I tell you that the hell of hounds is a barking at most churches today across this land that we live. Seems that we're quite content of living without victory. Seem like maybe we're just behind the door about victory. We just stay behind the door. Always heard, you know, with somebody, whenever they want to pass a joke at somebody, might not be too smart like me, and they said, "Man, I tell you, that man, when the Lord was passing out brains, he thought it said rain, and he ran for a shelter." Well, that's me, you know. I ran for a shelter. I was behind the door. But see our needs and our weakness. We have this incomplete in every area of our life, most of us. Like I said, this is for me. But in these verses of Scriptures, it is the recipe there now for victory. Now, I know that you want victory this morning, but you think you're doing all right, don't you? Well, let the Lord get through with you. But first of all, we see his weapon now of his fight, or really the weapon of his warfare, what this king had and what you and I have today. And verse 15, it says again, "And Elisha said unto him, take the bow and arrow, and he took unto him the bow and the arrow." Now, we know the bow and arrow. That's Christian warfare today. We have a lot of bows and arrows in our Christian warfare today. One thing is the blood of Jesus Christ. Did y'all know that? That's one of the warfares that we have. And also, we know the symbols, these arrow symbols, the power of God. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of the strongholds. And you see, we have that, of pulling down the strongholds, the weapon of God, the word of God, and the blood of God. In Revelation 12, 11 says, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. You see, by that blood, we got weapons there of that blood. And then the word of God by their testimony. We got this word of God. But then most of all, you know, we got prayer. Do you know that's another weapon we have in our arsenal that God has given us? We have the word, we have the blood, we have prayer, we have our testimony. I don't know if y'all remember Billy Sunday. You ever read very much about Billy Sunday? He was really the Billy Graham of his time. He was just the Billy Graham before Billy Graham became Billy Graham. He was a great man of God, and I'm going to tell you what, he fought the devil, and he said, you know what, as long as I got a fist, I'm going to hit that devil. As long as I got a head, I'm going to butt him. He said, as long as I got a foot, I'm going to kick him. As long as I got a tooth, I'm going to bite him. He said, when I get old and I get toothless, he said, I'm going to gum him to death until I die. But the thing about it is, we really can't hit the devil, can we? We really can't hit the devil. But sometimes you'd like to, wouldn't you? But we really can't hit the devil, because Ephesians 6 and 12 tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God give us these weapons that you and I have today. Now, you know, we have a war, whether this thing is called a president or not, believes in it. We have a war on this Islamic. I'm going to tell you, they're out to kill us. Did you know why? Because they hate us. We are the enemy of them. And there's a war going on. And this war going on, I tell you, you got to identify the enemy before you can ever win. And we have a war against people that wants to come over here and kill us. Did y'all know that? That is a war, and that is the truth. And we have to identify that enemy. Now, you see, these terrorists, and to identify him, you know, that man had done all the shooting, you know, that Fort Hood shooting. He was an army man, and he went out and killed, I don't have me in there. And they call it a workplace violence. A workplace violence. He's Islamic. He was one come out to kill American people. And they didn't identify with the enemy. Don't know who the enemy is. Listen, Islamic is an inspired conspiracy now, really. A demon idea. And you see, you can't kill an idea with a bomb or a bullet. Honest thing to kill an idea is a better idea. And you know what that is? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to preach the gospel to those people that wants to kill us and all the Islamic faith. They're the ones that's going to a place called hell because they do not believe in Jesus Christ. They're the one, if you don't believe like me, you're something bad wrong with you. If we don't get back to the preaching of the word of God in our country, I'm going to tell you, our country is going to go down even faster. But this King Joash, he had a weapon of his fight. But not all that. We see the weakness of his flesh in verse 16 that I read. And he said unto the king of Israel, that is Elisha saying, put thy hand upon these bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha said unto put his hand upon the king's hand. Put your hand on these bow and arrow. And Elisha put his hand on the king's hand. Now, we learned this lesson here that God's hand is upon our hand. You see, God's hand is upon you, and God's hand is upon us today. And the Bible says the sword of the word, the sword of the Lord, not our sword, but it's the Lord's sword. Now, God identifies himself with our obedience and our weaknesses. Did y'all know that? Oh, you see, I wish I could win this war. I wish I could win this battle, but I'm just too weak. You know what really the problem of it is? You're too strong. You're just too strong. The battle's not yours. Your battle is the Lord. A lot of times we need to be weak. We try and we try and we try and we don't trust. God says to trust. Paul said, now the greatest Christian probably that ever lived, in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. Most gladly thereof will I rather glory in my infirmities, and the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. It's not that we're all that weak. We're too strong to think that we can do it ourselves. Just let me try. And I found out in my life, I keep trying and I keep trying and I keep trying. I keep losing, I keep losing, I keep losing because I don't trust like I should. I don't care the battle to the enemy. God does not really need our strength. He needs your obedience. It's not our scholarship that he needs. It's our relationship that God needs. You know, it's not our ability that he's looking for, but it's our availability. You know, it's not our fame, but really our faith. You see, our obedience, as it says, obedience as we come into our Sunday school, and our Sunday school teachers, look at me, the obedience that I have. We're teaching young kids. We teach me to look at your teacher, how obedient that we are today, and the commitment, the availability we have, and the commitment we have. You see, we find out his weakness of his flesh. And you know what? We all have that. We all have that. So we know what? We're in the same boat together. But then look at the wonder of his fear. The wonder of his fear in verse 17 again. And he said, open the wonder eastward. And he opened the wonder. And Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the hour of the Lord deliverance, the hour of deliverance from Syria. For thou hast smitten the Assyria in Aphlex, till all have been consumed by them. Now the winder, he says, open to eastward. Now why did he say open the winder eastward? Because that's the point of direction where Syria was in. Now you see, it says face our foe today as we face him. Expose our face towards our enemies. The place of failure, you got a place of doubt to all. You see, I have not opened up all my winders towards my enemies in my life. There are some winders that I don't want to face. There are some winders of failure and doubt that I have not opened. God says, open the winders towards the east, towards the enemy. But I don't want to open those winders myself. As I said, I don't want to face those enemies. And I said about Ray as I was thinking about this song, those doors in your life. As he sung that song, you know there are some doors in your life that you don't want to open to God. You don't want to let God in. Now be truthful with me. There are some doors in your life that you do not want to open and let the Lord in and have his way. You know, again, I say, if you did, our church would be full on Wednesday night and also Sunday night. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, I didn't say that. The winders. But it's talking about here, not the door, it's talking about the winter. We continue to fail because of the dark rooms that we have in our life. And behind those dark shutters of these rooms is a dark place in our life. Did you know what spiritual fear is? False evidence that appears real. Spiritual fear. False evidence that appears real to you. Did you know what? You could be scared to death with a finger. Stick them up. Give me money. You know why that's worked several times in banks and restaurants? Stick them up. Give me your money. Just a finger. You know why? That was false evidence that appeared real. Appeared real. And did you know the only thing the devil can do to you is point his finger at you? That's all the power he has, is false evidence. And it comes along with that, with doubt and fear and deception of that finger that he points at you. It's evidence that seems real to you. That's the reason I get scared, and same time I worry and I get feared and all these things, because it's false evidence. Most of the time it don't even come to pass, but I get worried about it anyway. And I fear about it. And all it is they will point his finger at me. And it looks like real evidence to me, but it ain't. It's false evidence. You see, that's what this problem is that this man had, this king. He had this fear. It says in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love and sound mind. The Lord has not given us this. It says, open your windows of fear now. Open these windows of fear and failure and doubt where you can shoot these arrows through these windows, but you cannot shoot these arrows through a window that's got a shutter over it. Long as that window stays closed, you can't shoot that arrow. He said, open the windows to the east and shoot it towards Assyria, your enemies. But I don't want to open those windows. I keep those doors shut so many times. So many times. But look, you let the warfare of his faith. What did he have there? He already read 17. It was arrows. He said, shoot. Now, when he done that, that was an act of faith. Faith is believing, you know, with legs on it. Now, if he hadn't shot, what would have happened? Nothing. You deer hunters that like to shoot these bow and arrows, and you boys, you like to shoot these bow and arrows, and a big old buck comes walking out on you, and you pull back. And if you don't let that arrow go, you will never kill that deer. Got him. That's an act of faith when you turn loose that arrow. That's what he done. He turned it loose. You know, I'm bad about telling you about my westerns I watched on television about the cowboys and Indians, ain't I? Y'all know I like westerns, don't you? Well, sometimes these cowboys and Indians and these enemies are going to make war. You know what they do? They have this big old spear, and they ride up there to the enemies, the cavalry, and they throw that spear down. It don't hit nobody. It just goes in the dirt. You know what they're doing? That's declaring war. That's a declaration of war to the Indians. They hit nobody, but it's a declaration of war. They hit in enemy territory. Now, our arrows we have today is prayer. Our arrows is prayer. Ephesians 6 and 18 says, pray always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Arrows of prayer. You see, we have not only bows and arrows now in our warfare, but we have guided missiles. And you know what that guided missile is? Prayer. You got some problem over here in another state, we can pray about it. You know, we have some problems over there to missionaries in other countries. You know, you can pray about it. You know, you got problems, you know, with your families. They've gone off, and you know, your kids, and a lot of us have had kids, and we got teenagers and teenagers, girls and teenage boys, you know, and mamas and daddies, and they get ready. They go out on dates, you know what, and you can't go with them. Whew, you'd like to, but you just kind of shoot. You just shoot this guided missile wherever they at, these prayers. You know what? That gives you a lot of comfort to know that you can shoot that guided missile no matter where they at. Oh, that's a great help, is it not? I'm going to tell you, that is so much help. The arrows of the Lord of delivers, he said. Elisha said, now put the hand on the king's hand, and he did. Now this symbolizes God's hand. This, remember now the prophet, he's symbolizing God himself, you know, see, because he represents God to the people, and he puts his hand on the king's hand. Now, and I'm just about through, and a part that really got me is this last part now, because it looks pretty good up this point, but look here at the wrath of his failure. Here where IB comes in at. The wrath of his failure. Beautiful story, is it not? But it don't have too good a happy ending. There's so many Christians today start out real good. Man, I can't wait till the next service. Come all the time. Used to sing in the choir. Used to come to Sunday school Wednesday night. I ought to get off of that, hadn't I? You know what happened? The wrath of failure is upon you. The wrath of failure is upon you. This is not me talking. You see, because we've gone as far as we want to go to in life. Now, here's where it comes interesting to you. Verse 18, 19, and he said, take thy arrow, and he took them. Then he said to the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, and he smote three times, and he stopped. And 19 said, and the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldst have smitten five or six times, then have thou smitten Syria until thou consume them, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but only three times. Okay. He said, all right, take these arrows. He had some more than he shot this arrow. He had some more in his quiver. He got a handful of arrows there. And the prophet says, take those arrows, smite them on the ground. And old Joash, you know what? He just smote them on the ground three times. Half-hearted, just three times. And the man of God was angry at him. Why? Because the very last verse in this chapter tells us that the king of Israel only beat the Syrian king. It says, you beat him and recovered the city of Israel only three times. The same amount of time that he struck the arrows on the ground. You and I measure our victory. You know what he says? He said, smite these arrows on the ground. He was wroth at him. Why? He said, you should have smote it five or six times. Boom, 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 boom. But what he done, just done what was necessary. And here people sitting in this church is doing just what is necessary and no more. Me. The man of God did not tell him to stop smiting the ground. Because we feel the press of the battle today, because his heart was not in it, just kind of half-hearted. I sang today, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And we wonder why that we don't win the battles. Just kind of half-hearted. Just kind of half-hearted. Why do we do that? He did all that was required of him. And a lot of Christians this day, and remember, I'm the only one that I'm talking to now. Many, many, many Christians today, the only thing they do is what's required of them. They do just what's required of them and no more. Because you're satisfied. You don't see your needs. And you're doing it kind of half-heartedly, I.B. And you're not putting everything in it. What's required? A form without power as we have today on Christian life. 2 Timothy 3 and 5 says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. As I said, you know, Wednesday night in our spiritual warfare, God does business with those that means business. Wednesday night, it was prepared for a miracle. Get prepared for a miracle. See, whenever we come to church, are you prepared that you come for a miracle? Whenever you come, remember I told you Wednesday night about Elisha and this widow woman had just a little bit of oil, and Elisha said, you go and borrow all you can. You just get as many vessels as you can. And she got all the many vessels, you know, and then she poured out the oil, and oil kept pouring and pouring and pouring, and then it stopped. Why did it stop? Elisha didn't tell her just to borrow 10 or 12, or didn't say how many she borrowed, but if she'd have borrowed more, she'd have had more oil. And I tell you this hour, you want things to change in your life, and you want to win the battle, you just do what God says, and don't limit God and quit. And that's where a lot of us at, we just quit. We just don't get the vessel God tells us to get. Why? Because we measure our own victory. God says, I.B., you could have had so much more this past year. You could have been so much higher growing, I.B. But there was too many windows you weren't willing to open. And the only thing you'd done, I.B., was just the necessary things. You didn't push the battle to the gate of the enemy. You just done just what was required of you, and that's all you done. That's all you done. You see, the king didn't tell him how many times to hit the ground, strike the ground. But those three times that he hit the ground was representative, you know, of just indifference. Only doing what required. In other words, it's just lukewarmness that we have today. Modernism, we call modernism. You know, our Southern Baptists are full of this moderns, we call them. Now, we need to practice moderation, do we not? We need moderation in our rest. You know, you're supposed to rest 8 hours a day and work 8 hours a day, but not the same 8 hours. We need to have moderation in our rest. We need to have moderation in our recreation. We need moderation in our exercise. We need moderation in our finance. We need moderation in our eating. But when it comes to moderation for spiritual warfare, it is a sin to have moderation. You're not pressing the battle. When it comes to believing and worship God, moderation is a sin. When it comes to loving Jesus Christ, moderation is a sin. When it comes to not loving one another, moderation is a sin. It is a sin. When it comes to tithing, moderation is a sin. When we stop, why don't we have more victory, IB? Because the battle is not yours, it's of the Lord. He wants obedience. And 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Thank you, God. I bet you could have had more, but you know what? You stopped. You know, you was going to pray for them things, but you know what? You quit praying for those things you was going to pray for. It didn't last very long, and you stopped. Many of us, you know, you stopped coming to church as you should. And on and on and on. It's the reason you're having problems now back in your life again. You know, we're having problems with North Korea now. About the most evil nation probably on the planet Earth at this time. North Korea. That old crazy man. Did you know we went to war in Korea, the Korean conflict, they call it. And hundreds of American soldiers lost their life beating back communism. And they beat back communism on the Korean shore, and they beat it back halfway that country. And like usually wars, the politics took a hold, you know, and Red China got involved, and the United States said, well, we won't go no further. We'll have a 48 parallel. Still over today. They draw a line across North and South Korea. South Korea have been liberated. And they are allies, the South Korea. But you know, from this and that very day into the day and on out into the future, our biggest problem in that area is with the North Korea. You know why? Because we didn't carry that battle right on as God intended for us to do and do away and free that whole nation. And from that time, we're still having problems with North Korea. You know what? You have some North Koreas in your life. You have some North Koreas in your life because you have not taken those areas that God said belongs to you and free yourself that God intended for you to be free and walk the life of victory in your life. And because we have not, because the enemy keeps coming back and they got all those soldiers on both sides there facing one another. And there we are today. We're facing the problems because they did not go on as a nation. And you're facing some problems today, and I'm facing some problems today, and I'll keep facing some problems, but I don't have to because I have not went on. And I have not opened up those windows. I have not shot that arrow of the Lord's in direction face to face with my enemies. The problems that I have today and the problem you have today, we hold our own victory in our hands. The king just half-heartedly. We're going to stand up and sing a song. And the title, You Measure Your Own Victory. We're going to stand up and sing a song. I wonder if you see your needs today. I wonder if you come up right up to the very parallel of your life. And yet those enemies on the other side and you stop. You don't push it no further. Honest thing you do, you just do what expected of you and you're not going to go no further. There's some people this day sitting right here should be going further in their life, in their Christian life. And they should be doing more for the Lord what they're doing. And maybe some people here, they need to move their letters and their membership. Maybe someone here, it needs to be saved. Whatever it might be, God has spoken to you. I hadn't. I just used some words. The Holy Spirit done the work in the Word of God. But whatever it might be, you need to understand, you see, the victory, if you're a saved person this day, I'm going to tell you, it's in your hands. God has given you everything to fight with that you need. Now, if you're not saved today, you see, you're already on the wrong side. There's two families in the world, family of Satan, the family of the Lord God Almighty. And the best way to get into this family of the Lord is the way you got into your first family. You was born. But now you see you need to be born again. Born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. At this time, we're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. And I wonder how you're going